7 lines from the top of Daf Samachay Omid Aleph, and the Gemara continues to discuss dinim of ribis. Omar Abaye, and Abaye states, Hayman de Masik Zuza de Ribisa Bechavri. There was a borrower who paid off all of the principal of the loan that he had with his friend, and he still owed him one zuz of ribis, which was ribis ketsutza, and which was also for him to pay to the lender based on ribis deraisa. And the ka'azli chiti abor griva bezuzza beshuka. And at that time, the going market price for wheat was 4 pounds. For one zuz, and the Yavle Iu Chamisha, and the borrower decided that instead of paying the lender one zuz that he owed him for his ribis, he will give him 5 pounds of wheat instead of that zuz, and therefore the borrower was actually paying even more ribis than he owed, and he's paying ribis on his ribis. And Abaye teaches us that since we were paskin on Daf Samachay and Rabbeis, like the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, who is Chaylik on Rabbi Echron, and he said, by ribis ketsutza is Yotze B'deyanim, therefore, when they will eventually go to Bezin, and Bezin will force the lender to pay back the interest to the borrower. So Bezdin will only force the lender to give back 4 pounds of wheat that he took as interest from the borrower, and they will not force the lender to give back the extra pound of wheat that he received from the borrower. As we look at the last pound, as if the borrower gave a discount to the lender and he gave him 5 pounds instead of the standard 4 pounds of wheat that he was entitled to, and this is not considered an extra payment of ribis, and some agrees for idach mat. And this last pound was only given to the lender as matana ba'alma and not as ribis. And the Gemara continues, Rava Oma, and Rava argues in Abaye. He states, Chamisha mafkinim le, that would actually force the lender to give back all 5 pounds of wheat, the mikar b'tayus ribisa asar liyade, as l'maisa, the borrower gave the 5 pound to him in one lump sum payment, and therefore it must have been given to him as interest, and therefore Bezin will force the lender to give back all 5 pounds of wheat to the borrower. The Gemara continues with the second case of Abaye, V'om Abaye, and Abaye also teaches us, Hayman de Masik Abazuzi de Ribisa Bechavrei, if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and they set a share of Ribis L'chatchila as 4 zuz, and therefore it's Ribis de Raisa and Ribis Ketsutza, and Reuven already paid back the principal to Shimon, and Reuven owes 4 zuz to Shimon as his interest payment, and V'yavle Glima Begabayu, and instead of Reuven actually paying 4 zuz to Shimon, Reuven decided to give Shimon a beged that was worth exactly 4 zuz. Abaye once again teaches us, Kimafkinim when Reuven takes Shimon to Bezdin, and Bezdin paskins like Rabbi Elazar, that since it was ribis ketsutza, therefore it's yoyte b'deyanim, and therefore the Bezdin will force the lender to give back the ribis to Reuven. So the din is abba mafkinim minei glima loy mafkinim minei. Although certainly Bezdin will force the lender to give back the ribis to the borrower, however they won't force him to give back the actual beged, and the lender could say that I want to keep the beged, and instead I'll pay the 4 zuz that the beged is worth back to Reuven, and that's the way I'll be yoytze my of giving back the money. And as Rashi says, and the lender will only be forced to give back to the borrower the original amount of ribis that they made up between them, which was 4 zuz. And once again, the Gemara continues, Rava Amar, Rava argues in Abaye, and he says, they would actually force the lender to give back the actual garment back to the borrower. And my time, and what is the reason? As if we allow the lender to give back money, and he will keep the beged, then people will see that the lender is wearing this beged, and they will say that this beged that he's wearing is a beged that he received from ribis, and even though, of course, he paid back the value, they will think he actually never paid it back, and this will cause a chil Hashem. And the Gemara continues with the third case that Amr Rava stated, Hayman de Masik traces Zuzi de Ribisa Bechavrei, that if Reuven owed 12 zuz to his friend for ribis and for interest, and Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, I know I owe you 12 zuz because I owe you this interest payment, but since I don't have any money to pay you the interest payment, instead I will give you my chatzah, and I'll rent you my chatzah that generally rents for $10 a year, and instead I'll rent it to you for $12 a year, and you won't have to pay me, and this will be considered a payment for the interest I owe you. And l'maisa, after Shimon uses this chatzah, so Reuven takes Shimon to Bezdin, and he claims that Reuven charged him interest, and he wants to collect his interest, which was ribis ketsutza and was ribis deraisa, and therefore, as we said, we pass on to Rabbi Elazar that it's yoytze b'deyanim. So kibmafkinim in a trace mafkinim in a. And then when Beis Din forces Shimon to pay Reuven back the interest that he charged, they will force Shimon to actually pay back 12 zuz to Reuven. And even though Shimon really only had a nar of a $10 item, because ultimately the standard price for this chatzah to rent would have been $10. However, ultimately Shimon rented this chatzah for $12, and even though he never made a payment, but this was in place of the ribbis, and therefore Shimon will have to pay $12 to Reuven as replacement for the ribbis they charged Reuven. The Gemara continues that Amalei Rav Acha Medifta L'Ravina, so Rav Acha Medifta asked Ravina that L'Chayra, how could Rav Paskin that Beis Din will force them to pay 12 zuz, but B'lei Malei, let the lender say to the borrower, Ker Agri Hachi, to have a Kamishtashli, that the only reason why I agreed to actually rent the Schatzah for more than market value, and I agreed to pay 12 zuz for the Schatzah, is because I knew that I didn't have any major choice, as it was like found money, as otherwise I wouldn't have been able to get back my interest, and therefore I was forced to accept the Schatzah for 12 zuz, even though the actual value was 10 zuz. And as Rashi says, the reason why I overpaid for the rental of this property, it was actually all profit to me, and that is the only reason why I agree with the borrower that I'm going to take it for 12 zuz a year instead of paying the standard price, which was 10 zuz a year. However, the lender continues, but now that I'm actually not gaining this money, as Beis Din is forcing me to pay back this money, then certainly I wouldn't have agreed to pay 12 zuz for a year for this chatzah, and I would have told the borrower that I'm only going to pay 10 zuz a year if I knew that I had to pay out of my own money. And therefore, l'chayra, how is it that Beis Din is going to force the lender to pay 12 zuz back to the borrower if l'chayra, the lender should only be required to pay 10 zuz? And the Gemara answers, Mishum da amalei, savra v'kabilas, the lemaisa, you actually knew what the terms were, and you were makabal that you're going to pay 12 zuz, and ultimately, since you agreed to these terms, therefore you chayiv to give 12 zuz back to the borrower. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah will be mechalek between a case of rental and a case of a full-fledged sale. And the Mishnah states, marbal al asocha ve'im marbal al mecha, that a landlord is allowed to increase the price of rent to a tenant based on the landlord agreeing to hamtanas hamayis of the actual payment of rent. However, benegiyah mecha chumemka, then that would not be allowed, and he would not be able to do so. And the Mishnah will give examples of both these cases, and the Gemara will explain what the difference is between rental and between a sale. And the Mishnah states, Ketzad, and what are the cases of the Mishnah? In the first case of Marvel Asacha, is a case as follows. Hischilo is chatzeray, if Reuven rents his chatzah to Shimon, va'amaloi, and Reuven says to Shimon, imma achshav atanisli, if you're going to give me a lump sum payment for this rental, hareyo l'cha b'eses sloyim l'shana, then the rental price is 10 sloyim for the year, and you're going to pay me 10 seller right now, v'im shal chayish b'chaydish, however, if you're going to pay me in monthly installments, then the rental price would be a seller chaydish, or 12 seller for a year, which is, of course, two extra seller. In this case, even though he's charging him more for Antanas HaMais, it would be mutar. However, Machle Sadeu, if Reuven's selling the sod to Shimon, va'amaloi, and he tells Shimon, imma achshav atanisli, if you pay the complete purchase price at this moment, harei shalcha b'el zuz, that I'm selling you the sod for $1,000, however, im legoyin, if I will wait and you will be able to pay me at a later point, and you will only pay me at the time of the goyin, at the time that people threshed their wheat and they sold their wheat, and therefore you'll have the opportunity to actually make money and from that money be able to pay me. So b'shnei masamana, then I will charge you an extra 2 mana and I'll charge you $1,200. Also, then there will be asa, and of course this would not be ribbis deraisa, as although they made up a set price l'chatchila, but this was not done as a loan and was done derech mecha chomemka, and therefore it is only Ribbis Drabbanon. The Gemara begins, Maishna Reisho, Maishna Sefer, what is the chilek between a case of rental and a case of a sale? And Rav Rav Yisif, Tamri Tabayu, and Rav and Rav Yisif both explain that the Reish is talking about a case of Schiris, and Schiris ain't a Mishtalamis El Besayf. And since, as we will see in the Gemara, based on a Pasuk, we have a Makar, rental payments are only made after the person already had his rental, and after he already used the Chatzah, Bahai Kivin Loi Matu Zimna Migra, and therefore, when Reuven tells Shimon, I'm going to rent you this chatzah, really Reuven doesn't have a right to demand from Shimon to make the rental payments at the beginning, and really Shimon has a right to use the chatzah. Only at that point would Shimon be responsible to make the payments of rent to Reuven. And therefore, lav agonatale mashvur dachi shavya. And therefore, the case of skiris is not a case that Reuven is charging more to Shimon based on the fact that Shimon now had more time to pay Reuven. And really, the market price for renting a chatzah was 12 zuz, and therefore the actual charge charge that Reuven is charging to Shimon, if he paid on a monthly basis, would be the actual value of the chatzar, and he's not overcharging him. And even though Reuven told Shimon that if you give me a lump sum payment right now, then I will only charge you 10 sloyim for a year, and he discounted by 2 sloyim, that is of course not an interest payment, but that is actually a discounted price for paying the money earlier, and therefore it's mutter for Reuven to do so. However, Sefer, in the case of the Sefer, we're talking about Mekra Memka, and we're talking about a full-fledged sale, and Kivan Dizvini Nenu, and since it's a full-fledged sale, and therefore at the time of the purchase, the buyer acquired a Soda with the full-fledged Kinyan, and he either was Kainer through Kesef Shtar or through Chazaka, and therefore the seller had a right to receive the money immediately, and the buyer already had a responsibility to pay the money to the seller. And therefore, if the seller says to the buyer that if you pay me right now, that I'm going to charge you only $1,000, but if you pay me over time, then you will owe me $1,200, Hilkach Agunata Lehu, then that's a standard case of Agunata, that the reason why he's charging more is based on the fact that he's waiting for his money, and va'asar, and therefore it'll be asar midrabanan. And Ayin Rashi, in middle of the year, Maschel El Lubasayf, where Rashi says, Aval Sefer Gabi Mecha, Mishimasha Chamechach, Dino Litina Mois, that if we're talking about Metaltalin, and he did Meshicha on the Mekach, so immediately at that point, the buyer is responsible to pay for the Mekach, and therefore, when the seller tells the buyer that if you pay me immediately, then your cost will be $1,000, that is the true actual cost of this item. And then when he increases the price, if he pays him at a later point, that is certainly a wage that the seller is earning based on the fact that he's waiting for the money, and that would be also midrabanan. And the Gemara continued that we just stated, Rabbi Rabbeisiv Damri Tabayu, that Rabbi Rabbeisiv both taught us that the din of schiris is ein mishtalemes el lebesayiv, and therefore Rava, and Rava says Dokar Rabbanan b'hal milsa, that Rabbanan stored out in the car for this din that we just stated of schiris ein mishtalemes el lebesayiv, and v'kmu akra, and they actually found a makar to it and a smach to it from a pasuk, as the pasuk in Pashat Parha states kischir. Since the Lashon Pasuk is Kischir Shana Bishana, and we add in a base, therefore we learn out Schir Shel Shana Zu Einu Mishtalemes El Bishana Acheres, that the work product that is done in this year is only paid in the next year, and only after all the work is performed. And a similar din applies to rental payments. And Ayin Teisa Dino Maschel Schir Shel Shana Zu Einu Mishtalemes El Bishana Acheres, where Teisa states that Masechtas Becheres, the Gemara Dashin is in term Menachadish Al Yashon. Since the Pasuk in Pashrei states, Shana Shana, as the Pasuk in the Yom Ha'isa states, Asa to Asa is called to Azarecha, Hayetze Asada Shana Shana, and we learn out that it has to be in that specific year, and not the next year, and Taisa says, the Hasim Ksiv Shana B'loi Beis, as over there it says Shana Shana, and it doesn't say Shana Bishana, and Mahoch Dashina Midichsiv Shana Bishana B'beis, the Mashma Bishana Acheres, and Ayin Taisa who continues and discusses the Pasuk B'negeya Bechor, where the Pasuk states, Techlenu Shana Bishana, and Tais points out that L'chir, the Gemara should dashin, Shloyeil Nechol at Shana Acheres, V'loi Petech Shanasai, that a Bechor should only be eaten in the second year that's born, and not in the same year that's born. And Tais says, V'yishleimah, M'shun M'muchach Kra, the Nechol Petech Shanasai, because from the Pasuk in Pashm Mishpatim, it's Muchach that's eaten within the same year. The Siv, as the Pasuk states in Pashm Mishpatim, by Yoy Mashmini, Titnuli, Ayin Sham. And prior to continuing, let's point out that Tais in Diva Maschel, Schiris Einu Mishtalamis, El Besayf, points out that although we have machlekes in Masechtas Baba Kama and Masechtas Kedushin, if yeshno l'schirus mitchil v'atzayif or ein l'schirus el b'sayif, that machlekes is not relevant to this point of the Gemara that schirus is ein mishtalemes el b'sayif, as even according to the Man D'Amar that yeshno l'schirus mitchil v'atzayif, certainly they agree that the actual payment for the schirus has to be done at the end and not at the beginning. And Ayin Sham, where he clarifies this machlekes if yeshno l'schirus mitchil v'atzayif or ein l'schirus el b'sayif, and what the napkin mean is, would be Ayin Sham. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the next part of the Mishnah that Vimlagarim Bishneim Asa Mana Asa, that we stated that Benegeya Mekach Memka, that if the seller will charge a higher price based on getting paid at a later date, that will be Asa. That is certainly categorized as Schar Hamtanis Mois. And the Gemara continues, Rab Nachman states, Tasha Shari, even though on a Mishnah we just stated that it's Asa to make a deal and say that if you pay me up front, then the price will be cheaper, and if you pay me later on, then the price will be higher. However, the seller doesn't speak this out explicitly, and instead the seller tells the buyer that if you pay me in 6 months from now, then you'll pay me $1,200. That would actually be mutar. And the Ramban explains that the Loshin Tasha comes from a Loshin Yishmol, where the Loshin Yishmol of Atreish refers to a Cheresh that can't hear, the Kanami Pirish Tasha, Ribis Cheresh, She'inu Nishma, that we're talking about silent Ribis, which you didn't actually speak out, and the seller didn't actually explicitly state both sides of the equation. Rashi states, Tasha Shari, Limka Scheria, Bam Tana, B'yosim Edomer, Uvachli, Farishloi, Ima Achshav, Harir, Lechob, Pachos, Eli, Yimka Stam, Kach, Vekach, Liyim, Plaini, and instead the seller will just say that I'm selling you X amount of produce for a specific amount of money that you'll pay me at a specific date, and that will be mutar. And even though we just spoke out the difference between the case of Rav Nachman and the case of our Mishnah, but at this point of the Gemara did not understand exactly what the chilk was between the case of Rav Nachman and the case of our Mishnah, and therefore Esi Rav Bachama Rav Nachman, so Rav Bachama asked the following question for Rav Nachman, and some say Rav Ukva Bachama asked this question for Rav Nachman, and the question will be for our Mishnah, that the Mishnah specifically stated that the seller specifically tells a buyer that I'm going to sell you this field, and if you pay me up front, I'm going to charge you $1,000. If you only pay me at a later date, then you'll pay $1,200. That would be also. How could Rav Nachman say that Tasha Shari? And the Gemara answers, as we explained, Amalei Hasim Kotzle Hachle Kotzle, that in our Mishnah they actually specifically stated that if you'll pay me now, you're going to have a cheaper price, and if you pay me later, then it'll be more expensive. However, in the case of Rav Nachman, he didn't actually explicitly state that both studim, and therefore, since he just said that the purchase price is $1,200 and you'll pay me at a later date, that is going to be mutar. Now, in Taisis at the top of Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis, we passons like Rav Nachman, and the Gemara will now continue with the memory of Rav Papa. And let's point out that Rav Papa was very wealthy, and Rav Papa manufactured date beer. And let's just give an example that the standard was that in Tishrei the market price for beer was $500, and the standard market price for beer in Nissan was more expensive and was $1,000. And of course, if someone would go and buy beer in Tishrei, they would have to immediately pay $500 to the seller, and Rav Papa would say to people that you should buy your beer from me, and instead of paying me $500 today, I will allow you to wait until Nisan, but at that point, you'll have to pay me $1,000, which is the market price in Nisan. This should be a regular case of aganata and should be asa. However, Rav Papa says, Tasha di Shari, that the standard way that I sell beer to people is mutar, and some agurs Tasha di Vade Shari, but Taisis on Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis states that we're not going to be goyers Tasha di Vade Shari, and if so, it would be mashmor that our Papa is actually saying that the way that he transacted business is less of a chiddush than the way that Rav Nachman transacted business, and Lemaisa, the opposite is true, that L'chira, Papa's way of selling was much more of a chiddush, that is not considered ribbis, than the case of Rav Nachman. Rav Papa explains why in his scenario it's not considered ribbis, and my time, and what is the reason, Shechroi Loi Prasid, because I could keep my beer and I could store it until Nisan and would not get ruined, and Zuze Loi Tzrichna, and I don't need money since I'm wealthy, and therefore I'm doing a favor to the buyers. And from my perspective, there is no tarbis going on over here, as I'm not gaining any money by doing this, as if I want, I could just store my beer until Nisan and then sell it at the market price at $1,000 at that point. But Omle Rav Sheis Breda Rav Idra Papa, Rav Sheis Breda Rav Idra said to Rav Papa, that my chazi ma de ka'azos bazid didcha, why is it that you're looking at your perspective and you're saying that it's not considered tarbis based on your perspective, but zil bazid too, but you should look at the buyers, the ilu havalu zuze havishakli kashra, as certainly if they would have money at this point, they would definitely want to buy it at today's price and they would want to only pay $500 for every keg of beer. And it's only because they don't have money, therefore they're making a deal with you and they're going to pay based on the future price and they're going to pay you $1,000 per keg in Nissan. And ultimately, even though based on your perspective it's not tarbis, but based on the perspective of the buyer, certainly you're biting into the buyer and it's definitely neshech. And even though, of course, it's not going to be asa midraisa because it's a case of mekach memka and not a case of alva, but the maisa should be rivers to rabbanon. Therefore, Rav Sheish is Breda Rav Idi argues to Rav Papa and hold that this would be asar. Gemara continues, Rav Chama says, Tashidi vade shari, that my way of transacting business is definitely going to be mutar, and my timer, what is the reason? Nichud leku b'shusei, decholecha dekaazli shafkelu michsa, v'nekaitlu hushuka. And Rashi explains, Rav Chama would sell merchandise. For example, we Rav Chama had the merchandise was cheaper in that area. And for example, the price of merchandise was $500, and he would sell it to people that were traveling to another location to go to an area where the price of this merchandise would be more expensive. Instead of selling it to them for $500 and getting cash on the spot and cash on delivery, jewelry, he told them, I'll sell it to you for $1,000, and you will go to this area and sell it on my behalf for $1,000. Rav Chama agreed with the buyers that he will accept responsibility for the merchandise until they go to the town, until they sold this merchandise, and therefore, until the point that they actually sold this merchandise, it was as if the merchandise actually belonged to Rav Chama and did not belong to these buyers. And Rav Chama told them that you should know that once you sell the merchandise for $1,000, then you could keep that $1,000 until you bring it back to me. And once you bring it back to me, all you'll have to give me is $1,000. So when we look at this transaction, certainly there's no problem of ribbis from the point Rav Chama gave the merchandise to these buyers until the point that they actually sold it, because Rav Chama accepted full responsibility, and therefore really they're selling Rav Chama's wares for $1,000, and they're acting as his agent when they're selling it, and therefore of course they owe him $1,000, and there's no ribbis involved. And even though after they sold the merchandise and they now have $1,000, Rav Chama allowed them to use the $1,000, and that $1,000 is now considered a loan because they now have responsibility to bring the $1,000 back. And as Rashi says, and the achrayus for bringing back the money to Rav Chama is on their shoulders. So at that point, certainly it's considered a loan, but ultimately they were only responsible to give $1,000 back to Rav Chama, and therefore they're not paying Rav Chama any interest for the use of his money. However, Rav Chama is still bothered that l'chira, there seems to be some sort of ribbis problem, as it seems to be a prepayment of ribbis, which is called ribbis mukdemes, because certainly no person will take merchandise from someone and go to a different town and take responsibility to go and sell it and work hard in order to sell the merchandise and not get paid for that, and certainly they would take some sort of a wage to sell Rav Chama's merchandise. And over here, Rav Chama gave them merchandise that was worth $500, and they sold it for $1,000, and they gave the full $1,000 back to Rav Chama, and these buyers didn't take any fee for their work, and l'chira, that itself is ribbis, and the reason why they would do it is because they knew that they had the use of the money from the time that they sold the merchandise and they got the $1,000 until they returned the $1,000 to Rav Chama, and l'chira, there should be a problem with ribbis. That's why Rav Chama explained that the reason why it's not considered ribbis is because these buyers got something in exchange, as when they went to the market in that town, they were considered the agents for Rav Chama, and therefore they were able to tell people that since we're the agents for Rav Chama, who's a Talmid Chacham, therefore this merchandise is tax exempt, and they also received other benefits because the rule used to be that a Talmid Chacham had a right to sell his merchandise in the marketplace before other people, and therefore the reason why these buyers were willing to forego their fee for selling the merchandise of Rav Chama was not because of the fact that they will use this money afterwards, but was based on the fact that he got other benefits, and therefore there was no ribbis involved. Ayin Rashi, Noktalu Shuka, Machrizin, Shloye Odomashar Limka, Achi Machruheim, and Ayin Taisi Dir Maschal Noktalu Shuka, where Taisi explains this point of the Gemara that Taisi said, the Lavachi, as if not for the fact that they received this benefit, that the Shuk was closed for everyone else besides for them, how the Asa would have been Asa, Afal Pisha Chreisadar, Choyal Rav Chama, even though the responsibility for the merchandise up until they sold it wasn't Rav Chama, as Lemaisa, they were foregoing a fee for selling the Schaira and being busy with the Schaira of Rav Chama, and that would be considered interest. However, the fact that they received the benefit that they held open the marketplace and they said that they're the only ones that were able to sell at that point, that was even done on their own merchandise, that was a benefit for them, and that counterbalanced the tircha that they did for Rav Chama, and therefore was muta. And it seems that Taisis is bothered why the Gemara had to give us two reasons of number one, kol hechad ka'azli shafklu mechsa, that first of all, they were able to sell these things and it was tax exempt, and number two, v'nakalu shuka, l'chari, one of these reasons should have sufficed, and Ayinu and Fashim, who discussed these two reasons and discussed if one would suffice without the other, ayin sham, but from Taisis is definitely muchach that you need both of these reasons, ayin sham. And we continue on daf samachay on beis, and the Gemara tells us, v'hilchasik Rav Chama, that number one, the halacha follows Rav Chama, that tasha di vade shari, and number two, v'hilchasik Rav Elazar, and the halacha also follows Rav Elazar, who is chilek and Rabbi Yechon, daf samach alav on beis, and he held that by ribbis katsutza, and by ribbis duraisa, it's yaitza b'dayanim, that bezim will force the person to give up the interest that he collected, and number three, v'hilchasik Rav Yanai, da'ama, mali heinu, mali d'mein, and we also passing like Rav Yanai, that taught us on daf samach gimel mit alef, in a case of a forward contract, when the person comes to collect on the merchandise and the person that originally sold him the merchandise doesn't have the chitim, he could tell him, instead of chitim, I'm going to pay you the value of the chitim based on today's value, and he could even pay him cash in the place of that commodity. And Ayin Rashi and Daf Samach Gimel Medalef and Diba Maskel Shema Minah, where Rashi says, Pasuk Al Apiris v'giyas mani limkar ubav v'tavoy ve'inloy mikabli menu hadam k'shashel achshav, then the seller could give the buyer the actual money at its current value at the mali mikabel hein atzmon umali demain, as what is the difference if he actually gives him the actual merchandise or if he gives him the cash value of the current value of that merchandise. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah states, machalei sasadov v'noisalei mikses damim, if Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and Shimon gives a deposit to Reuven, and when Shimon gave the deposit to Reuven, he also made a kinyan of either kesef shtar or chazaka, and Reuven told Shimon that when you pay me the rest of the money that you owe me for the sada, then you will be konam me'achshav, and you'll acquire the field from this moment. And as the Mishnah states, v'amoloi, and Reuven said to Shimon, emes etzertetza havei mois, at any point in the future, you could bring me the money that you owe, with tola shalcha, and then you'll own the property from this moment. And the Mishnah teaches us also that in that case, both the Meicha and the Lekeach cannot eat the peiros of this field. And Rashi says, b'monoshach shem yechol Meicha peiros b'teich kach, l'chshiyovi zeh ha-mois, nimse sh'atzada k'nu yaloi me'yoy ma'mecha, v'zeh ochal peiros b'scharam tonis ma'isav, as if Reuven continues to eat the peiros of this field, and ultimately, if Shimon actually comes and pays the rest of the value of the field, and he consummates the purchase, then it'll turn out that Shimon actually owned the field from day one, and the only reason why Reuven was eating his peiros was b'scharam tonis ha-mois, as that is over and above the purchase price, and therefore that would be a problem of Ribbis Rabbanon. Rashi continued, v'im yoichel l'keach peiros me'achshav, and if the buyer would have the right to eat the peiros from this moment, shem l'yavi mois ha-mois, that maybe at some point he will never bring the rest of the money, v'yachzal ezeh ma'shekibal, and therefore Shimon will have to return the sada to Reuven, and v'nimsa sh'loi ha'is ha-sada k'nuloi, and therefore it will turn out that he never acquired the sada at all, he didn't bring the rest of the money and he didn't pay the remainder of the purchase price, and therefore the original deposit that Shimon gave to Reuven was considered like a milva that Reuven received from Shimon, and Reuven will return the full deposit to Shimon, and it'll turn out that Shimon was eating the fruits of this field based on the fact that he gave this deposit and that was considered a loan, and therefore it'll be considered ribbis in that case as well. And the Mishnah continues with the second case, and the Gemara will explain the details of this case, but the Mishnah states, Hilvau asadeo va'omoloi imiyatu noisli mikan vashol sham harei shalei. So if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and he tells Shimon that I'm lending you this money with a lien against a specific property, and he takes the mashkin of the sada, and he says that if you don't come back and pay up your debt between now and 3 years, then I will keep the sada, and even though this sada has more value than the actual loan, and for example, he gave him a loan of $100,000, and meanwhile this sada is valued at $200,000, then harei shaloi, then this is not a problem of ribbis, and Reuven has a right to keep the sada. And we look at this as if the original $100,000 loan is being used as the money to purchase the sada, and Reuven just got a good deal on the sada, and instead of paying $200,000 for the sada, he only had to pay $100,000. And the Mishnah brings the story of a kachoy Baisus ben Zayin Isa al pi chacham, that this is exactly what Baisus ben Zayin used to do when he lent money to people, and this was based on the psak of the chachamim. And we begin the Gemara, and the Gemara will focus on the first case of the Mishnah. And although in our Mishnah we stated that in the case where it was machle sasada v'nasle mikses damim va'amale imisay shetirta ve'mois v'tula shalcha, that it's also, and we said that it's also for the meicha orderly kech to eat the peiros, as there is a potential for an issa ribbis in either scenario, and therefore certainly the way we understood our Mishnah was that if someone gives a deposit on a sada, then neither the lekech or the meicha could eat the peiros, and therefore the peiros would have to stay by a third party until the culmination of this transaction, and either the buyer actually purchases the sada, and therefore he owned the sada me'achshav, and therefore the peiros belong to lekech, and the third party would deliver the peiros to the lekech, or the lekech will not close on the deal and will never culminate the transaction, and therefore the field will belong to the meicha, and the third party will deliver the peiros to the meicha. However, our Gemara begins, mi oichel peiros, that who would eat the peiros of a sada where there was a buyer that gave a deposit to a seller, and Rav Huna Amma Meicha Eichel Peiros, then Rav Huna holds that the Meicha has the right to eat these Peiros, and Rav Anan Amma Mishalshon said Peiros, and Rav Anan says that you have to give the Peiros to a third party until we see what happens to the actual and final transaction. And even though it seems that Rav Huna is going against our Mishnah, Zok to Gemara V'loi Pligi, and there is no Machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Anan, and as the Gemara explains, Hada Amma L'chi Maisis Kani, that Rav Huna was talking about a case where the seller said to the buyer that once you bring me your final payment, then you'll be coined at that point. And therefore, certainly from from the point of the deposit until the buyer actually delivers the rest of the money, the field definitely belongs to the seller, and therefore the seller has the right to consume the pears. However, Rav Adam was talking about a similar case to the Mishnah, where the seller said to the buyer that once you pay me the rest of the purchase price, then you'll actually own the sada from this moment, and therefore both the buyer and the seller cannot eat the pears, as we explained from Rashi that Mamana Shachta will be a potential problem of ribbis. We explained our Mishnah as well as this Gemara based on Rashi. However, Ayin and Taisis, where Taisis says that the machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Anan is actually how to learn our Mishnah, as Rav Anan learned our Mishnah exactly the way we learned our Mishnah. However, Rav Huna learned that when our Mishnah stated that it's asa, it just meant to say that it will be asa for the buyer to eat the pears. Certainly, the seller has a right to eat the pears, as ultimately the seller said to the buyer that the only time you'll be koiner the actual sada is only once you pay the remainder of the purchase price, and until that point, the field belongs to me, and therefore I have a right to eat these pears, and there is no problem of ribbis. However, if the buyer would actually eat the pears, and the buyer ends up not buying the field, then it will turn out that when he gave the deposit to the seller, he was giving him a loan, and he actually received the full amount of the loan back, and meanwhile he also ate the pears, and therefore he received the pears based on Agenata, and that would be Asa Midrabanan. And Taisus explains that the reason why Rav Huna said that the Moich is Eichel pears, and the reason why he said that the Mishnah is not talking about a case where he said L'chimaisis Kanim Achshav, is because the Lashon of the Mishnah is that the seller said to the buyer, Eimasai Shetir Tzahavei Mois V'tul Shalchar, which is Mashma, that only at that point will you acquire the Sada, and the seller did not tell the buyer that he'll own the Sada Me'achshav, and from the point that he gave the deposit. And Rashi explains the memory of Anan that Mishal Shon Saperius, that it's talking about a case that L'chimaisis Kanim Achshav Ain't Zel Tnai, and therefore it's considered as if the seller made a Tnai with the buyer, Shemikayim Tnai, Yehia Sada Konaloi Min HaYoyim, that if you Mekayim the Tnai and you actually bring me the rest of the money, then you'll be Koyin the Sada from today, Yemkayim Tnai, Nimsa Shachla Mecha Perish Shalakeach, Ad Achshav Bescharim Tanis Moisav, and that would be a problem of ribbis. Let's keep in mind that we saw the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Daf Zamach Gimel Min Aleph that held that Tzad Echab Ribbis is Mutah, and L'chayra in the case where the Mecha is eating the Peris, the only way that will be ribbis is only if the buyer actually consummates the transaction and brings the rest of the money and pays the balance of the purchase price. However, if the buyer doesn't come through and doesn't close on the transaction, then it'll turn out that this sada always belonged to the meicha and there won't be a problem of ribbis. And if so, l'chayra, there should be mutah according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara will actually tell us that our Mishnah is not going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues, Tani Rav Safra b'ribbis d'bei Rav Chiya, and Rav Safra taught us from the braises that were taught in the Yeshiva Rav Chiya regarding ribbis, and the braises made a few statements which weren't very clear, and the braises stated Pam Shishne Mutarn, that there are times that both the Meichan and the Keach could eat from these pears. Pam Shishne Masurim, there are times that both of them would be also to eat these pears. Upam Shamechan Mutav Lekeach Asa, there are times that the Meichan is able to eat the pears and the Lekeach is also to eat the pears while there's only a deposit. Upam Shalekeach Mutav Meichan Asa, and there are times when there was a deposit given, where it would be Mutav for the buyer to eat the pears and the seller would be also to eat the pears. And Ani Rava Basrei, and Rava came to respond to this Braisa and to explain this Braisa. And he explained when the Braisa stated Pam Shashne Mutarin, the Amalei Kani Kashir Zuzeich, that the case was where the seller said to the buyer, you should acquire the Sada based on the amount of your deposit. And for example, if Reuven was selling the Sada to Shimon for $100,000 and Shimon gave a $40,000 deposit, then Shimon owns 40% of the Sada at that moment and Reuven owns 60%, and therefore both the Meicha and the Lekeach could eat from the pears. The Meicha would be able to eat 60% of the pears and the buyer will be able to eat 40% of the pears, because at that point that's Shupfim, and Reuven owns 60% of the Sada and Shimon the buyer owns 40% of the Sada, and there is no potential for ribbis. However, Pam Shishne Masurim, there are times where someone could give a deposit and both the Meicha and Lekeach would be also to eat from these pears. And this is in the case of Rab Anon, where Reuven said to Shimon that when you bring me the rest of the money, then you'll be koina from this moment. And as we explained, that if the Meicha would eat the pears, then there could be a tzad ribbis, as if the Lekeach pays the remainder of the purchase price, then the Lekeach owned the field from day one, and the Meicha not only received the purchase price, but he also received an additional payment for the Hamtanis HaMais. And if the Lekeach eats the pears, and ultimately the Lekeach doesn't finish the transaction, then the Meicha will refund the deposit, and meanwhile the Lekeach will receive the full deposit back, and the Lekeach also ate the pears, which will be considered Schar for Hamtanis HaMais. And Rava continues to explain the third case of the Braisa, Palm Meicha Mutav V'Lekeach Asa, the Amalei L'Chimaisis Kni, and this is in the case of Rav Huna, where the seller said to the buyer that whenever you bring the money, at that point, you will be koina. Until the buyer pays the full purchase price, the seller owns the property, and therefore the lekech has no right to eat the peiros up until the point that he actually pays the remainder of the purchase price. And finally, Rav explains the last case of the braisa, that pa'am shel lekech mutu umecha asa, that there are times where a buyer gives a deposit to the seller, and the buyer will be mutu to eat the peiros, and it will be asa for the seller to eat the peiros. In the case where the seller told the buyer that although you're only giving me a deposit, for example, of 40% of the karka, the transaction is considered culminated and you're considered the actual owner of the land from this moment, and the remainder of the purchase price you owe me, and that is considered hava. And since the karka is owned by the lekech at that moment, therefore if the seller will eat the peiros, then the only reason why the seller will be eating his peiros is based on the schar of hamtanas mois, and that of course is a problem of ribbis. And the Rashi points out that even though the Gemara said that the seller told the buyer k'nima achsha v'zuzoy lehevi halvogabach, but mistavr d'lav l'meimer she yitzarech leim lekach beferish zuzoy lehevi halvogabach, that the Gemara doesn't mean that the seller had to say this beferish, as mistamin nami, that even if he didn't say this, the standard would be this way, as kol d'loy ayel v'nafik hazuzi, as any time that you don't receive all the money, k'ivin shechse b'kakor, that since the buyer made a chazaka oy shekona b'kesef oy b'shtar kona kakol gamri, then the standard is that the buyer owned the karka legamri, v'zuzi havi milval peh al lokeach. The Gemara continues, man tana shnei masurim, that who is the tana that states that in the case where the seller told the buyer, once you pay the remainder of the purchase price, then you should be koyin the soda me'achshav, that both the buyer and the seller cannot eat any of the peiros, and you have to give it to a third party. And the pashas of the Gemara is that this is going on the braisa, where one of the cases of the braisa was, with pam shnei masurim. Rav explained, the amalei l'chimaisis k'ni me'achshav, which is the scenario of Rav Anon, and L'chir, the scenario of a Mishnah according to Rashi. And L'chir, it's a bit sarach beyond Rashi, as L'chir, according to Rashi, the Gemara should have said this directly on a Mishnah. However, L'fi Taisis, L'chir, the Gemara seems to be much clearer, as the Gemara is only stating this on the Braisa, where the Braisa states in some Mefurish. However, in our Mishnah, there was a machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Anon as to how to learn our Mishnah. Therefore, if Rav Huna is correct as to how to understand our Mishnah, we couldn't actually make a diak from our Mishnah that the Mishnah is not going to go like Rabbi Huda. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna Breder Rabbi Shua, Rav Huna Breder Rabbi Shua says, the like Rabbi Huda, and when we state that Shnei Masurim, that both the Meicha and the Lekech can't eat the peiros, that is not going like the Shita Rabbi Huda, the Rabbi Huda, as if it's going like the Shita Rabbi Huda, Ha'omat Tzad Ech B'ribis Mutah, but we know Rabbi Huda taught us on Daf Samach Gimel Manalaf, that if someone makes up to receive ribbis, and the only way that this would be a case of ribbis is only based on one outcome of the scenario, but another outcome of the scenario, ribbis would not be applicable, then that would be mutah, and it would not be ribbis at all. And in the case where the seller tells the buyer that when you pay the remainder of the purchase price, you will own the sada from this moment that you gave me the deposit, then if the seller is eating the peiros, and meanwhile the buyer doesn't actually pay the remainder of the purchase price, then of course the purchase was null and void, and therefore the buyer always owned the sada, and there was no problem of ribbis, and therefore it is one sad that the ribbis would not be applicable. And even in the case where the buyer is eating the peiros, and if ultimately the buyer actually comes and pays the remainder of the purchase price, then it turns out that the buyer always owned the sada, and therefore there would not be a problem with ribbis. And once again, there's only a tzad echeb ribbis, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be mutar. And the Gemara continues, and Rashi states, Braisa hi, and the Shitma Kubetzes brings down from the Rosh, that since our Gemara doesn't continue and state the word Tanya, therefore this is actually a continuation of the Braisa that we brought from Rabbi Chiya that started of Pam Sheshneim Mutarim, Pam Sheshneim Asurim, etc. And now the Braisa continues, Mishkanai Bias, Mishkanai Sada, that if Reuven lent $100,000 to Shimon, Reuven took Shimon's house or his sada as collateral. For example, Shimon's house was worth $200,000 and it was worth more than the actual loan. But Amaloi, and Reuven said to Shimon, that if you decide that you're going to go sell these assets, then I have a right of first refusal. And Reuven sets a price with Shimon, which is more than the amount of the loan, but less than the amount of the actual value of this house and the sada. And as Rashi says, in order that he should sell it to him as a complete sale, and it won't only be a mashkin any longer. And the Braisa tells us that in this case, asa, this would be asa as it would be considered ribbis. However, bishavein muta, if Reuven says to Shimon that if you decide to sell these assets, then I will have a right of first refusal, but I will pay you the full value, and I'll pay you $200,000, then it would be muta, even though, based on his loan, he's receiving a right of first refusal, which would seem like ribbis as well, as Reuven is getting a benefit benefit based on his loan to Shimon. And the Gemara continues and focuses on the ratio of this brisa. And the Gemara states, "Man Tana b'doma l'lo'asa." Who is the Tana of this brisa that holds that if you say that I'll have right of first refusal and I'll buy it for less than the value of the actual kaka, then it's considered asa? Am Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehoshua, like Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehoshua said once again that it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda, as if it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amat tzad echad ribus muta. He holds that if it's only tzad echad ribus, then it's muta. And over here, if Shimon doesn't decide to ever sell the field, then certainly Reuben won't have the right to buy the field, and therefore it won't turn into a problem ribus. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if Shimon decides to sell the field and Reuben buys it at a cheaper price, that is not considered a case of ribus. The Ritva points out that the chiddush of Agamar is that Rabbi Yehuda even says as din, even by a case of alva, ki hodu mishkaloi bayis ayin sham. The Gemara continues, machloi bayis machloi sada. If Reuben sold a house or he sold a field to Shimon, and Reuven paid the full purchase price to Shimon, va'amaloi, and meanwhile Reuven says to Shimon, l'chshiyuli mois, ichzirimli, that if at a later point I have enough money and I want to buy back my property, you will return the property to me, then also that is considered a problem of ribbis. And Rashi explains also that this is considered a problem of avak ribbis, because nimsa she'in zemecha, as we see clearly that when the seller is actually selling the property, he's only doing this in order to receive money at this point because he doesn't have money, and therefore it's not really a sale, but it's actually a loan, and Reuven is trying to get a loan from Shimon, and therefore when Shimon now uses the property and he eats the payers of the property, and then Reuven comes and purchases the property back from Shimon for the original purchase price, then it'll come out that Shimon received back all of his money, and meanwhile Shimon ate the payers of the Sada for this entire period of time, and that would be considered an issue of ribbons. However, the Brisa continues, if the seller doesn't ask for this clause, and instead it's the buyer that says to the seller that when you have money, I will allow you to repurchase your property from me, then that would be mutah. And in a moment, the Gemara will explain what is the pshat in this din. And the Gemara continues, man tana, that who is the tana of this brisa that said that if the moicha says to the buyer, l'chshiyuli mois, l'chshiyuli, that's asa. And I'm Rabbi Kudim, Rabbi Yehoshua, the like Rabbi Yehuda. Once again, we see that this is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And as the Gemara states, the Rabbi Yehuda ha'oma, tzad echad ribus mutah. And over here, there's only tzad echad ribus, as the only time there will be an issue of ribus is only if the seller actually buys back the property at some later point. And the Gemara continues, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. And why is it that when the seller made this clause with the buyer, then it's asa, but if the buyer makes this clause, then it's muta? Amar Rav, and Rav states, Seifa, the Amar Lemi Daite, that the Seifa is talking about a case where the buyer said to the seller that if I want to return it to you at that point, I will decide if I want to and I can return it to you. And as Rashi says, Im Erza Achzirim, if I want to, I will return it. Veloisha Tizbeni Bedin, and not that you could actually call me to din Torah, Hilkach Muta, therefore it's Muta. And as Rashi explains, even if at a later point the buyer decides to actually accept the money from the seller and resell the property to the seller, Lemaisa, that was his choice, and therefore it's considered a second sale, and it's not considered an actual loan. But the Reisha, where the seller made this as a Tnai with the buyer, and this was going to be done by Kochach, and if the seller wants, he could actually take the buyer to a Beis Din in order to force him to sell back his property. So certainly in that scenario, Meikar Lav Mechu, therefore it's clear that it wasn't really a sale, and it was really always a loan, and it was done in this fashion in order to try to avoid ribis, and therefore it's a problem of ribis, and it would be usar. And L'chair, since the nafkamina between the ratio and the Seifa is that in the ratio, the seller makes this a actual Tnai, and the seller could eventually force the buyer to allow him to buy back the property, and the Seifa, the buyer agreed that he would think about selling the property back to the seller, but the seller could not force the buyer to do so, as he only agreed to do this midaitai. And if so, why did the Reisha give in a scenario where the seller made this Tnai, and the Seifa, it was the buyer that made this Tnai? If L'chair, that detail shouldn't make a difference to the scenario and to the halacha. However, the Torah Chaim explains that the Brisa is giving a scenario based on the standard, and he states as follows, Mipnesha Derechi, Shesham Lechem Masna Kavanosik L'Tnai Gama, Shal Das Kein Humecha, as he wants to be clear that he has a right to buy it back. However, Shal Kech Masna, Da'akri Loimish, Inze T'nai Gama, El Toli B'daitai, Kedesh Leif Benu, as certainly when the buyer makes such a T'nai, he doesn't want it to be something that he's forced to do, and he doesn't want the seller to have the ability to take him to Beis Din and force him to sell the property back to him. And keep in mind, in the Gemara, Daf Samach Vav Ben Aleph, the Gemara will actually state that Rava didn't actually state that the buyer has to say this midaitai, but Rava held in any case that the buyer makes it tnai, then it must be that the buyer meant midaitai, and the Gemara explains that Rava really stated that Nasa commanded Amalei midaitai, but not that he actually said midaitai, and we will see this on Daf Samach Vav. We're in the Gemara that spoke about the case of Mishkalei Bayis and Mishkalei Sada. The Rashi explained that the case was where the lender said to the borrower that if you decide to sell the Sada, then I will have right of first refusal and I'll buy it to you for an amount that is more than the loan but less than the actual value of the property. And Ayin Tesis as to why Rashi explained the Gemara this way, and Ayin Tesis who is Chaylik and Rashi, and we will stop over here.